I saw a headline that announced that the president has declared today, November 4, as a day of national mourning because of the for the mourning for the victims of last week's storm, or actually a week and a half ago now, the storm Christine, which killed something like 150 people, and thousands of people are still displaced or digging out from the debris and the mud and that sort of thing. So today is a day of national mourning. I'm not sure exactly how that's observed. The one thing that was mentioned is the flying of the flag at half mast for today. I know what they do in the United States. They take a moment of silence. If there's some kind of a government gathering, a meeting of Congress or something, they take a moment of silence, because they're not allowed to promote prayer. So maybe here in the Philippines, it's possible to have prayer. In any case, we should pray. We should certainly pray for victims of natural disasters. And at a mass like this, we should keep in mind that our own neighbors, our own brothers and sisters have lost their lives or have been severely affected by the weather. Now, someone might say, well, why do you have to have a day of national mourning? People who are affected are already mourning. Yes, they're already mourning. But the people who are not affected, people who are in regions that were not flooded or didn't have the terrible weather, they might just forget about it. And that's our tendency, isn't it? If we're not suffering ourselves, well, we just go on with our lives. Something about this seems like a fitting example of what we learned yesterday, that the great commandment, the two great commandments are love of God and love of neighbor. Recalling yesterday's gospel, you might remember the surprising thing that Jesus said at the very end. The scribe who had asked the question, which is the great commandment, greatest commandment, after Jesus gave the great answer, the very great answer, and the scribe said, okay, that's good, good answer. And that's better, your answer is better than any sacrifices or Holocaust. And then Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. It's an interesting thing to say, because it's not as if the man did anything. All he did is say, that's a good answer. As if Jesus recognized the disposition in that man was already enough to make him close to the kingdom of God. Of course, it's not enough simply to understand the principles, understand what's the greatest commandment. We have to actually do it. Not only to say that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, but actually to love God and actually to love our neighbor. Well, I think that's where today's readings can be a big help to us. You could clearly see them as an extension of the lesson we learned yesterday, the lesson of love, which was more like establishing the principles. But in today's readings, we have practical implementation of the principles, or putting into practice the word that we have been taught. St. Paul, this is here near the beginning of his letter to the Philippians, speaks about an attitude which has very profound practical implications. The attitude being deep unity with others. Deep unity, he says, be united with me, but be united with one another. Be of the same mind. Have the same love. Be united in heart, thinking one thing. That expression, mind, heart, soul, strength, should remind us of yesterday's gospel. How much are we supposed to love God? With all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Well, here Paul is saying we should be united with all, he doesn't say strength here, but he says mind, love, heart. In other words, there's something about the implementation of the commandment, which makes it possible for us to actually be united. Because the most profound uniting principle of all is love. Well, the uniting principle of all things is God, and God is love. Anyway, at the end of the reading, he says something that's also surprising to us. Don't do anything out of selfishness or vainglory, but rather regard others as more important than yourselves. This is the radical part, to think of others as more important than ourselves and to look out not for our own interests, but for the interests of others, putting others ahead of ourselves. Well, our nature and the world would say, why do that? Why live like that? In fact, isn't that a bad thing? Doesn't that leave you at the risk of being taken advantage of? And if you're not taking care of yourself, well, who's going to take care of you? That's what nature cries out. The answer is God. God is the one who takes care of us. The one who we trust in is not ourselves, but God. God who is love. It's the love of God that makes it possible for us to love. Love in response to Him and also love one another. So, yeah, we want to look out for our own interests and we want to think of ourselves as more important than others, but that's a dead end. It's an unfulfilling and unhappy way to live, because then all we have is what we have. But if we entrust ourselves to God and we look out for the interests of others, then we have what God gives, and that's much greater. We live like God. So that's a beautiful passage to ponder. Then Jesus in the gospel makes it even more concrete, practical. He speaks about who we should invite to lunch. And he eliminates all the people that we invite to lunch. Our friends, our relatives, people who are of influence and who we would love to get repaid by. He says, no, don't invite your friends, don't invite your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your wealthy neighbors. Well, then who's left? He says, the people who you would not invite because you can't get anything from them, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Now, he's not saying this is literally what we have to do. He's saying, take on this mentality that you don't have to do things in order to receive. Take on the mentality of God Himself, which is to give, to consider others more important than yourself, to not be so concerned about what you're going to get out of it. It's the same thing that Paul is saying in the first reading. Jesus is saying, take on this mindset of other-centeredness, which is love. He says, blessed will you be because of their inability to repay you. Why is that a blessing? Because then we're not looking to them and the meager gifts they might offer us. Instead, we're relying on God. Again, it goes back to who's really taking care of us. Are our friends and wealthy neighbors taking care of us? It might look like that, yes, and they should. But the one who's really taking care of us is God. The one whom we really depend on is God. And He's the only reliable one, and He actually is the most generous, most loving, and the best benefactor that we can ever find. So that's the awareness that Jesus is trying to plant in His listeners. He knows that the way His listeners think, especially His host, who's one of the leading Pharisees, and pretty much everybody thinks, is, what can I get out of this? If I give, what will there be in it for me? And He's trying to smash that selfish mentality, saying, no, don't start with what you're going to get. Start with, well, you can start with what you have already received, meaning the love of God, and then give of yourself to be like God. And you'll be repaid. You'll be repaid more than you can imagine. So don't worry about being repaid. I think that's what Jesus is telling us. So as we observe this day of national mourning, it's not so that we get anything out of it. It's because it's a fitting thing to do, to pray for the living and the dead, to be concerned about others who are more important than we are, and to be concerned about their interests.